I'm Puerto Rican. Many people do not believe this because they see me and they say, surely you're Irish or German or something like that. And I say, no. Actually, I am 100% Hispanic. But yeah, my mother was first generation. My dad was born on the island, so I am Puerto Rican. And I'm proud of it. Don't judge a book by its cover. It's my life story. All right. I was born in Chicago, and I was blessed to be raised in a Christian home. My father is a committed Christian and made sure that me and my siblings heard the gospel from a young age. And I can relate with Paul's words to Timothy, how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. I knew I was a sinner in need of a Savior. At age 7, separate from everyone and on my own, I began to have a deep hunger for Christ. There was a conviction. I'm so grateful I was familiar with the gospel from the time I was a little child. I knew Jesus had to die for me because I was a sinner. In 1 Peter 3:18, we read that for Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. I saw my need for Christ. God drew me to himself and gave me a deep desire to call out unto his Son as Savior and Lord. At that moment, God saved me. Immediately, he put me to be part of his community, his family. As Paul says in Ephesians 2:19, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. And actually, an imagery that I will forever have embedded in my head of that time, it was actually in the middle of the night, and I was lying in bed, and I was praying to God, and everyone was asleep but me, which often happened because I was a very hyper child. And I remember in my prayer to God, I told him that I wish I could just take my heart out of my body and attach it to helicopter rotors and send it up to him. And, you know, kids. There, yeah. So when I came to Christ, I had an immediate crucible and a testing of my faith because of my parents' divorce. I was not able to stay with my father, who was devout in his Christian life. I was allowed to visit him for a week at a time during the year at different times. He always encouraged me to continue growing in Christ. My mom professes to be a Christian, but the fruits of her lifestyle speak to the contrary. After she divorced my father, she married her high school sweetheart, who was an atheist. And initially, when we moved to New York, we continued to attend church regularly, but soon we became the Creasters, only attending church on Christmas and Easter. I was so thankful to be born again, but my faith was greatly tested when we moved to New York. Yet I can confidently say that God kept his promise that he would never leave me nor forsake me. I never fell away from Christ, even though I was prohibited by my mother from going to church. I dealt with a lot of discouragement and disappointment with not getting to be with God's people. I wanted to live with my dad so that I could have an active Christian life. My father always encouraged my faith. He would write me at times 5 or 6 page letters. I called them his mini sermons, but they were never mini. And so my father fought the fight of faith right alongside me, even though we were separated by 1,000 miles. I really wanted to be back with my dad, who was faithfully serving Christ. And finally, when I was 14, I was able to move back with my father. And I went through a real revival in my life and finally began to be able to attend church services again. I had a hunger and a desire to know Christ and his word. My father and I would constantly talk about the Bible and our walk with Christ. I met my wife Gina in college. We married her junior year in 2006, and very soon after, the Lord began blessing us with children. And in this process of sanctification, I've learned that I have a long way to go. I love 1 Peter 3:15, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. I want to be able to give the gospel to everyone around me, yet I know I have so much more to grow in my study of the word. As 2 Peter 3:18 says, I want to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As I come for membership today, I want to confess to you that Jesus Christ is my Savior. He's my head, my fortress, my protector, and my guide. He is my King and my God. I would like to mention the passage from 1 Samuel 14. My father always loved the friendship of Jonathan and David, how Jonathan saw and obeyed the will of God, even to be willing to give up the throne. So he named me after this warrior of God. And because of that, I am inspired by Jonathan's legacy. Jonathan was meek, but not weak. He knew all he needed was the Lord. And with God's power, he was more than a conqueror. My favorite victory is in 1 Samuel 14:6. Jonathan said to the young man who carried his armor, "Come, let us go over to the garrison of these Philistines. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing can hinder the Lord from saving by many or by few." Then in verses 12 through 13, Jonathan said to his armor bearer, "Come up after me, for the Lord has given them into the hands of Israel." Then Jonathan climbed up on his hands and feet and his armor bearer after him, and they fell before Jonathan and his armor bearer killed them after him. Though I am without strength, it is my desire to serve the Lord and his church here at Living Hope. And I believe that though I am weak, our Lord Jesus Christ is strong, and in Christ we are his warriors. I believe, as Jonathan of old said, the Lord will work for us, for nothing can hinder the Lord. And I would like to close with something I actually wrote a couple of years ago. And I have not committed to memory, so I don't know why I printed it in such small font. Sometimes I face the fire, and friendly though it is, I call it hell on earth and miss the forest for the trees. Sometimes I walk the wilderness and focus on my thirst, and gripe as though at Meribah and claim that I am cursed. Sometimes I sail in wind and waves and stare down at the deep, and anger stirs within my soul that Jesus is asleep. Sometimes I tell God that he's wrong or that he works too slow, and I say that I don't know him thrice before the cock can crow. Sometimes the lessons are just too hard for me to understand. How can these constant trials come from a loving father's hand? And then I look down at my son, trying to tie his shoe, a lesson that he did not want, but one I pushed him through. To tie a shoe is not at all that a very difficult thing. You make a loop, then a swoop, and then you've tied your string. But my son cries in frustration at the giant I made him face, the torturous conundrum of tying a shoelace. And painfully I realize as I'm staring at his tears, I too have taken shoelace and made them into fears. True, faith can move the mountain, but sometimes we climb it still. And if we'd look back, would we laugh to see a tiny small anthill? My God, give me ears to hear and give me eyes to see. Give me faith of mustard size that bursts into a tree. So always let the wilderness be my journey to the waves, where even though I sink, my God is mighty enough to save. Let always the flames of furnace burn and rid me of my dross, and hammer smash me to a shape of the man upon the cross.